Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for the word of God, and we ask and pray that our hearts would be wide open to your truth. As you, we come seeking that your word would be written on our hearts, no longer hearts of stone, Lord, but hearts of flesh to receive the truth of the living God. We ask and pray that the Father, Lord, that you, our Heavenly Father, Lord, would pour out your spirit upon us. Teach us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would somebody turn that fan off? That hum is going to distract me. All right. Book of Judges. Judges 1:16. And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites and inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. And Judah also took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ashkelon and the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountains, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses had said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man with all of his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which was the name thereof unto this day. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshan and her towns, nor Tanakh and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalal, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, or Akzib, or Helba, or Aphek, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Bethshemesh, nor the inhabitants of Bethanath, but dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Bethshemesh and Bethanath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Herez in Ajalon and Shaalbim, yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up of Akrabim, from the rock and upward. Now, as we study the book of Judges and take it to heart for our application, much to learn, and a couple of things that I bring forth was how we're going to approach the book of Judges. It's the warning not to live like the people around you. Okay? Not to live like the people around you. Don't follow their ways, follow the Lord. And it's a good instruction for us. Don't follow their ways, follow the Lord. And do not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Well, we are actually reading 16 through 36. I'm going to progress into chapter 2 tonight. And again, with this phrase, in 16 through 36, for you as a Christian, here's what we learn. Beware the pattern of incomplete obedience. Beware of the pattern in your life of incomplete obedience. Chapter 2, verse 1. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swore unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land, of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Well, remember that the book of Judges really overlaps with the book of Joshua. Likewise, the book of Judges overlaps in the end with 1 and 2 Samuel. It's not like there's this clear-cut time period where one day it was black, the next day it was white. One day it was obedience, the next day it was disobedience. And this is that pattern that we need to be careful of as Christians, that pattern of incomplete obedience. Now, as I raised my family in the Lord, again, prayerfully considering what it was to take the scriptures in a particular way for marriage and family, and it's where it's proved out first, as a man would really instruct his own family concerning following the Lord, that the children were to be obedient unto their parents, accord with, that's two places. It's in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 6. And in that particular way, to bring them up unto obedience, what is obedience? And it was defined in our home to obey mom and dad immediately, completely, and joyfully. So again, slow obedience is no obedience. Incomplete obedience or partial obedience is no obedience. We find the children of Israel, I'm just going to be very clear with you as we apply this. This is a warning book for us. Book of Judges is a warning for us. And quickly arrive at this partial obedience that we find all of the tribes of the children of Israel in, some victory. It's very good for us to hear this as believers. We gain some ground. There's strongholds that are won. There's sins that are put off. My testimony, such as I came to the Lord, he clearly said right away, this stops right away in your life, and I laid it down that same day. And then others were left there so I would learn how to fight against my nature, which was at enmity with the living God. So don't be discouraged tonight that the fight that you're in as a Christian to have that enmity with the world, with the devil, and with your own sinful flesh, that God left that enmity there so you would learn how to fight. Now, the warning again, I'm going to repeat it, beware the pattern of incomplete obedience. This angel of the Lord then comes up here in chapter 2, verse 1, taking heed unto this warning not to live like the people around you. You come to church and you hear the word of God. Or if you're in sin, you don't open your Bible. See, this place of finding out that God finds it necessary that after they had been given the law, that now he sends an angel, an angel of the Lord came up he has some things to say. Notice that he speaks as the words that God put into his mouth to say them, and he's speaking for God. I made you go up out of Egypt. See, it's not the angel, it's not the pastor talking about God. This is the word that was given specifically to the angel that is speaking for God in the first person. Now, I bring this forth in such a way tonight because they're a lot like us. You want to know the real difference between the men and women of faith in the Bible and us? You want to know the real difference? Theirs are written down. Their failures and successes are written down. That's the real difference. Now, as we take this to heart tonight, and again, a couple of phrases come forth in this way, the angel of the Lord, and then the way that God would speak, I made you, I brought you up, I swore unto your fathers, I will never break my covenant. Find your way over to Revelation 2. I'm going to go through Revelation 2 and 3 tonight. Unto the angel of the church. Okay, so I believe there's a parallel here for us tonight. And I just invite you now, right, just to get you working this out. 5 out of these 7 churches have a word of repentance to them. If you haven't caught it yet, Judges 2, when the angel of the Lord shows up, it is for correction unto repentance. Now, if you sit for a long time in willful disobedience, you will grow harder and harder and harder against the Lord. Okay? Until one day you'll say what? It's just too hard to follow the Lord. They have chariots of iron. Whatever that might be in your personal life, like, oh, this situation, it's just too hard. God couldn't possibly expect me to fight against this for so long. Beware the pattern of incomplete obedience. Come on up, Bronson. Seven letters, seven churches, seven men to read those letters and exhort. So there's going to be a word for each and every one of us tonight.
All right. Revelation 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So I went straight back to Sunday, and really the grace and not the law. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. And so, you know, I read this and I see a church that's bogged down in routine and tradition, right? As we talked about on Sunday. And it's very easy to do, to get into those routines and having that heart of repentance to do the first love, as it says here in chapter 2 to the church of Ephesus. And so spontaneous love, and I want to read the definition of spontaneous, of free, and in quotations it says, of free will. This is 1828. Voluntary, acting by its own impulse or will without the incitement of anything external, acting of its own accord as spontaneous motion. And then I've got Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so the exhortation is to all the do's and the don'ts that you're bogged down by, right? The routine, the, you know, getting yourself under a pattern of following the law, you know, the tithe, the all that, that God loves a cheerful giver, right? So be cheerful in your generosity and in your works, and get back to that first love. All the things that you do spontaneously, you know. And so with that, Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. And the need of the Holy Spirit really is our need. Ask and ye shall receive. Ask for living water and pour it out to others. And so just really get back to that freedom, that liberty to do what the Lord tells you to do. Seek his voice, hear his voice. If he says, you know, to bring me a cup of coffee and a sandwich, you know, go ahead and go do that, right? So, but, you know, an example too is today, Ransel, a spontaneous act of love. He brought me two books, you know, and so I was really blessed by that. And just something simple like that, just those little things that we can do that aren't expected. And so that's my exhortation.
Yep.
Right, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Second death, so born twice,
die once.
But born once, die twice. So it's the only one of the only two churches that weren't called to repentance here. You look at the church and he says, I know the works, thy tribulation and poverty, thou art rich. So where are we storing those treasures? So the treasures on up ahead in heaven. Right? On up ahead. And at the beginning it says, these things sayest the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So remembering, where is that life? The life is in Christ. So we must, as the church, know that we're going to suffer persecutions. We're going to suffer tribulations. We're going to suffer trials. And we rejoice. We must rejoice, as Paul says, in those trials. There's no room for that grumbling and complaining. We tell our kids that. How much do I find myself having to stop? Or my wife, you know, giving me the, touch me on the shoulder to remind me, you know. I fall into that, you know. So we must rejoice through even the little, the big trials, whatever that is, because we know if we're born again, what do we have to complain about? We've got all these around us that we must shine. We must be those shining lights. We must put on that armor of light. We must hear in the Spirit. So as Bronson was saying, being full of the Spirit, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If we're not Spirit-filled, if we're not walking in the Spirit, then we're not going to hear that. Sliding down. Thank you. Yeah, so I think that's it.
Amen. Do I get to speak for Matt now, too? All right. Revelation 2:12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written which no man knoweth, saving be that receiveth it. So the exhortation I got from this, as I read through it this afternoon, was very much from the latter part of the book of Judges. First of all, is that the tribes of Israel that were not able to drive out, or did not drive out, the other inhabitants of the land, the same as with us. If we refuse to drive out the sin from our life, it will keep coming back to us. And then also, too, is just like take a look in the city in which we live and where alcohol and sexual sin abound greatly. And the other thing that I also thought of along with that is like, I mean, if you're going to hang out with people that are going to teach you how to sin, like you're going to learn pretty quick. You know, and so read something this morning, 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So be aware of who you're around and who you're hanging out with, where you go and what you do as well, too, because if not, you're going to become just like them. So.
And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know your works, and your charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give to every one according to your works. But I say unto you, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not had this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Let's exhort you. Jesus will judge his church. He introduces himself as the one with the eyes of fire and the feet of fine brass. He will judge his church. And again, he'll correct his own. And the warning of the false teaching that leads to, again, false prophecy, false teachings. Jezebel, again, whether or not her name was ever Jezebel, she certainly is used for us to know how Jezebel incited King Ahab, her husband, to do more wickedness and more evil. And beware of those teachings, all right? Beware, again, of a seducing or a teaching that would seduce you away from your oneness with Christ. And beware of the sexual sin and idolatry that can be cleverly placed in the seduction of something other that's being taught rather than the Word of God.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which I have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Dead branches do not bring forth fruit. Thoughtless works, prayerless works, are not living works. Jesus has called us to abide in the vine, the living vine, and that we would bring forth fruit. It's the living branches that bring forth the fruit. And if we're not willing to abide in him, we won't bring forth fruit. And we could live saved lives, but dead spiritual lives. So abide in him and bring forth the fruit.
All right, Revelation, still in chapter 2 here, verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. As for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as who do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is a strong word of exhortation, and it's to break up the hard hearts. This is to those who have not put away their sin, sexual sin, idolatry. This is to those who have not known the depths of Satan. The example put forth here is to bring the fear of the Lord. And when you read this, this is not meant to brush off the reality of the punishment. It says here, indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into the great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. God gives time for repentance. If you don't repent, it will not be good for you. And your sin does find you out. The sin that God is putting his finger on in your heart right now, you know what it is? That's the one that God wants to root out. The word for adultery in a scriptural sense is all manner of lewdness or unchastity, as in the seventh commandment. In scripture is also used as idolatry or apostasy from the true God. Do not deceive yourself and say that I won't be cast into a sickbed, that my children will not be killed with death because of my sin. Do not follow after this. This word of exhortation is to break up the ground of your heart where it's hard. But remember, love, service, faith, and patience. The Lord has also called us to holiness. And do everything as heartily as unto the Lord.
I think so. No one was tripping up here after me. All right. This is pretty close. All right, chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which has come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of my and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All right, so go back to John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. So Jesus is exhorting, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, now has come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus has already won the victory. So that's the exhortation. We are to dwell here. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to be a light in the world. So home fellowship, Nehemiah home. Going back to Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So Jesus is willing to equip you in everything that you need. It's all right here in this book. All we have to do is open and take the time to listen for him to teach us. It says here, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I'm sure we can all agree that life is tough at times, and sometimes we're pushed to the end. But Jesus is willing to help. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And simply, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So as long as we continue to ask, to seek, and to knock, the Lord will give us what we need.
Guess we needed Thyatira twice. Laodicea, right? 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. My exhortation from the church of Laodicea is beware the mixture. How do you end up with warm? By mixing hot and cold. How do you end up with lukewarmness in a church? By mixing the word of God with things of man, things of the world. So much so that the state of the church is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. A description of a church that does not know their state of their own sin and shame, having mixed together the things of the world and put a bad taste in our Lord's mouth in the description of spewing them out because of their lukewarmness. Just encourage you. Faith and righteousness, right? Gold tried by fire. That's a picture of the faith. Peter describes our faith. More precious than gold that perishes. It's okay when your faith is tried. It's good that your faith is being tried. It's not about the life of ease. A church that wants to mix together the world and Jesus is hoping to be at ease and not face the trouble that comes to you by following Christ. My exhortation and encouragement to you is take up the cross. Crucified to the world, right? The world to you. And the robes, the white raiment, a picture of the righteousness, to be clothed with righteousness to cover the shame of your unrighteousness. So it's a strong word of exhortation, I believe, this is for the church to be on fire for Jesus and to be righteous and get your eyes on back on Jesus and off the world. So back to Judges 2. Get me another water, please, Brunson. Judges 2, verse 1, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim. This phrase that repeats in Revelation 2 and 3, and why I take us there tonight, is we saw the pattern of incomplete obedience in the end of Judges chapter 1 as they come out of great victory, right? Having crossed over, great victory. And they allowed these things in and did not put away the enemy that was dwelling amongst them. So God does something about it. When I read Revelation 2 and 3, and again, these letters that Jesus himself wrote for his church, he gave them to us, and they will be with us. And I think of that book and why he places them there. After everything else is written, we have the Word of God. They had the law of Moses. We have all of the writings of the apostles. And yet, here in Judges 2, then God sends an angel. I look at these letters of Revelation 2 and 3 in much the same way, and he speaks directly to them over what he has said. When he says, I know your works, and I know where you live, I know the trials, I know your suffering, it's very personal. And taking up what we draw out by way of understanding, here, again, I want to attach this to today's proverb. Anybody a proverb a day type of person here in the room reading a proverb a day? Okay. Today's proverb, Proverb 15, ends in this fashion. And I think of the seven letters to the seven churches that we just were exhorted. And the exhortation really is to listen to the Word of God. Follow the Spirit of God and obey Him. And if we won't obey, God is not a respecter of persons. We read in Proverbs 15, the last three verses, 31, 32, and 33, the ear that hears, you hear that? He who has an ear to hear. This angel of the Lord shows up with the children of Israel in the book of Judges. I don't know if you thought there were no angels and prophets in those days because of maybe you just overlooked that, but God sends forth in the way that he would speak. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. And so you can hear the Lord very clearly in the reproofs of life. He that refuses instruction, verse 32, and despises his own soul, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that hears reproof getteth understanding. Again, repeating over and over, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. When you're corrected by the Lord, my instruction to you is receive the correction and repent. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Well, as we take up this book of Judges in this way and arrive now that after the pattern of incomplete obedience, the angel of the Lord is sent to bring them back. Jesus writes those letters to the church at any given point in time, to individuals or churches in any time period, that if they would hear the Spirit, they would be brought back. Repentance, changing of mind. This in chapter 2 is about repentance. If you need a title for tonight, it's repentance. the specific word. I swore unto your fathers, right? I made you go up out of Egypt. I brought you into the land. I swore unto your fathers, I will never break my covenant. And then that's God's part of that covenant that he gave to them. And then their part, which they did not keep, in verse 2, you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw it on their altars. Now, the church, right? Have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds of darkness, Ephesians 5. Let's find our way there. Tonight's one big exhortation to produce in our lives the ability to listen to what God says in the reproofs of life, to listen to him in the instructions given in the word, to be able to listen to him that when you have had incomplete obedience, that when the Spirit of God brings a word to you, that you would listen. Okay? Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done in them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. This is about separation. So find your way to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As you handle these scriptures tonight, any one of them may be the exhortation. Any one of these scriptures may be the sharp word of the Holy Spirit to you tonight. And my encouragement to you is to prepare your heart for correction and repentance. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? Children of Israel were exhorted not to make league, not to go into a treaty, or to even to make them, again, the word the King James used was tributaries, not to partner together with the nations that were there, and they were to tear down their altars. 2 Corinthians 6:14, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial, and what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God, temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be sons, my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Make, back in Judges 2:2, you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land, you shall throw down their altars. Now when it comes on to idolatry, okay, we may not. And again, I haven't seen the modern depiction other than if you have friendships or acquaintances from other religions in the world, they will actually have their shrine with their idols in their house and bow down and worship them. But nevertheless, what those idols represent for those that would bow down and worship them, the gods of greed and lust, nonetheless are the same gods that would be worshipped, and even the description of covetousness is idolatry. So that word here of throwing down their altars, not bowing down to the same altars that those in the world bow down unto. Middle of verse 2 there, you have not obeyed my voice. That phrase, beware the pattern of incomplete obedience. And this is where my exhortation tonight as we apply this is to obey God immediately, completely, and joyfully. And just establishing that pattern here as you hear now, after you have sinned and you can hear the correction, and when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes that you have not obeyed, you're always only one step back. One step out of carnality into spirituality. It's not a long pattern. Now, you may have a pattern of incomplete obedience, But in one step, you can repent and do a U-turn, and in one step, you can establish the pattern of obedience in your life. Why have you done this? That's an instrument right there for the Holy Spirit. That's an instrument of the sharpness of the Word of God, that between you and God, when He asks you why. Now, the simple answer is this: I wanted to. Right? I wanted my own way rather than to obey God. But when He searches a little bit deeper, looking for you to reason through and give an answer to God of why you're living the way you're living. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from as before, but they shall be thorns in your sides and a snare. Find your way to Numbers 33 in tonight's Bible study. Trusting the Holy Spirit to put this all together for us, that we would listen. Numbers 33, it's really 51 through 56. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, so again, you get the place, this is the Lord speaking even before they crossed over. Verse 51, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you are passed over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures. Again, a reference to their idols. Destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. To destroy the worship of the other gods amongst the nations who are dwelling there. Verse 53, and ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to the more ye shall give more inheritance, to the fewer ye shall give less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes your fathers shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and you shall vex you in the land where ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. So we take up the learning in our lives, this admonition, this learning that comes to us through what the children of Israel went through. Let's take up these snares. The snares that remained, it's not God's fault. Okay, it's not God's fault, as you would fight against a stronghold of sin in your life that you seemingly can't get rid of. And this is my instruction to you: beware the snare, if you will, beware the snare of the love of riches. 1 Timothy 6:9. Beware the snare of greed, avarice. Again, 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which draw men in destruction and perdition. Okay. Beware the snare of the love of money. Beware the snare of Joshua 23:13, beware the snare Joshua 23:13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish off this good land from which the Lord God has given you. Now, what's the snare? Verse 12. Well, let's go back to verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and shall go in unto them, and they to you. So beware the snare of the evil association. Believers loving, right, and wanting to do the things and be with the unbelievers love. And then the last one, not an exhaustive list, but beware the snare of idolatry. Psalm 106:36. For context, Psalm 106:34. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. I just encourage you, if you have to cut off that friendship or you have to put an end to that sinful practice, just establishing that if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Mentality. Being willing to cut those things off of your life that take you away from the Lord. But we're mingled among them. This is 106:35. But we're mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. And they were defiled with their own works and went to whoring with their own inventions. So as we take to heart tonight what we study in Judges chapter 2, with the warning not to live like the others around us. Not to live like the others around us. John 15:19. Separating yourselves from the sin of this world. John 15:19. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. So just in strengthening and equipping and encouraging that the world in which we live, we will not be a part of it. We will be separated from it. We're not to do all those things. They will be a snare unto us. Now you notice that God had written this in the law ahead of time. So what the angel of the Lord comes and says to them is not, it's not new. It's not new. And it came to pass. So I'm in verse 4, Judges 2, verse 4. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Now at this place, as we go through a study like this in this way concerning repentance, concerning hearing what the Spirit of God would say, concerning the exhortations that all the men brought of the seven churches, of the letters that Jesus wrote to his church, I'll give you the exhortation to repent. The result for the children of Israel, when they heard the angel of the Lord, what he spoke, all the words that he spoke, they lifted up their voice and they wept. Godly sorrow works. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Right? It works repentance. 2 Corinthians. And here's where I want you to be at tonight, where I want us to be at. When the Holy Spirit said to us, Sardis, in 2013, and I brought that back and began to share those things with the church, one of the specific instructions that the Holy Spirit gave me was to preach and to teach repentance for the church. We come back to this tonight in such a way in the view of the book of Judges where we're learning not to live like the people around us, and I'm preaching and teaching repentance for the church, your personal lives. Or you hear some of these things, some of these churches, the whole church was doing these things. 2 Corinthians 7:10, in context, verse 9, Paul says, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance." Children of Israel weeping having heard what the angel of the Lord said. When you're in the scriptures and you're convicted by the Holy Spirit over a sin that you've ignored and your heart had hardened because of the deceitfulness of the sin, and when the Holy Spirit gets all the way in and you're brought to tears, my encouragement to you there is do something about it. Change your mind, right? That leads to changed actions, metanoia. That's the word for repentance. You were made sorry after a godly manner that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Paul's not trying to shame them. He's not trying to lord over them. He has brought that word of correction unto them, and they were made sorry. They had remorse over how they'd been living. And I'll give you another ear to hear this, that this began with the ladies when they went to the women's retreat in the action of consider your ways. This repeated at the men's conference on the continuance with a strong call and a wake-up call to get out of darkness and come to the light. The Holy Spirit's been teaching and speaking repentance to us. Godly sorrow. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Do you love that? Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, and you never have to leave that. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. There's remorse in the world. There's weeping and crying over how things turned out. You know, and a lot of times it'll be the playing of the victim. It really wasn't my fault. These things happened unto me. Woe is me. I can't do anything about it. I'm just going through all this, and I just don't know what to do. That's the sorrow of the world that worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. There's something about a godly sorrow that works repentance that leads to that salvation that just simply says, I must do this now in righteousness. I can no longer steal. I can no longer lie. I can no longer. And here's the description of verse 11. What carefulness it wrought in you, yes, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, what revenge, in all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Back to Judges 2:4, it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voices and wept. I recall the repentance of the churches. Revelation 2:5, 16, 21 and 22. Revelation 3:3 and 3:19. Repentance. What a beautiful word it is. What a beautiful word and then practice when it brings about the godly sorrow. And we take up, well, one here, Jeremiah 3:21. I'll show you this one. Jeremiah 3:21. Jeremiah and all of his preaching and all of his teaching had zero converts. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way and have forgotten the Lord their God. Here's his preaching. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, and their flocks and their herds and their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Israel lifted up their voice and wept. Jeremiah oversees the destruction of the nation. As we pray for and await for the return of our Lord, and we have all the scriptures and prophecy in place that describes that in the last days, that men will be lovers of themselves. It will be days of trial, confusion, deceit, and we're living in those days. And now I would exhort all of us tonight to take that understanding, that call tonight to be separated from this world and from the sin of this world, and to walk with the Lord. That this is written that we might heed the warning not to live like the people around us. In your homes, how you do your marriages, how you raise your children, how you work, how you, James 3, who is wise and understanding among you, let a man show by his conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Not the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, devilish, that's of this world, but this wisdom that is from above, that's first of all pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and is sown in peace by those who make peace. That righteousness, and we wrap up here tonight with, again, what I consider to be the weeping because of sin that we find the children of Israel in chapter 2, with the warning. Tears without repentance. Genesis 27:34. There is a crying. There is a weeping over what we have done that doesn't lead to repentance. Genesis 27:34, when Esau heard the words of his father, right? What are the words of his father? I've already blessed the one who came in. I don't have a blessing left for you. Right? That were the words. Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Hebrews 12:17, the revealing of that exact incident, giving an exhortation to the church by faith. Context, Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And here's verse 17. For ye know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, even as I would encourage you that you hear the Holy Spirit in your situation and to take those steps to make right concerning that conviction of how you live your life, even if as you have that conviction and as you know what you need to do, again, my word to you is rise up and do it. Find that repentance. Don't sit in it. Don't sit in that. God has left the things in your life which are trials and difficulties for you, that you might be strengthened in the war against the enmity within and without. And they called the name of that place Weeping. That's Bochim. That took the name of that place. What do I expect that happened there? That they listened. That what we have here in the record of the book of Judges is that those who were on that plain in Moab when Moses spoke those words to them, and then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal and repeated that words to them and asked them, why have you done this? That sharp word of the Lord reached all the way into their hearts, and they wept over the sin that they had done, and they repented. They named the place Bochim, and there they sacrificed unto the Lord. Now, here's my encouragement to you, that if you come all the way through that and between you and God, you know what has to change in your life. What idolatry, what sexual sin, what darkness, what theft, what lying, what cheating, what stealing, whatever that might be, that come to that place where they wept and then they sacrificed. And this is my call to us, back to the cross. Back to the cross. There you will find the place where you can humble yourself and confess all your sins. And it's at the cross, as you confess your sins and you humble yourself before the Lord, the sacrifice for sins, that you would see clearly there. Anoint your eyes with eye salve. You would see clearly there that in Christ Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. At the cross, God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you sit in disobedience, right? Or you establish a pattern of incomplete obedience, which is disobedience, it hardens your heart through the deceitfulness. And this is the study tonight, to bring us through unto repentance. So, Father in heaven, we pray now. That all the exhortation tonight, that this is common in your church, that your church may at any time leave their first love or be given over to sexual sin and idolatry or false teaching or a mixture of the things of the world, and just come and humble ourselves tonight, that we could hear you clearly in our personal lives and hear the reproofs of instruction and receive when you come and speak to us. So, Lord, we do not want to live like the world around us. We do not want to be unequally yoked again together with the unbelievers. We don't want to have fellowship with light and dark. And so we just come tonight, Lord, and open up to you. And we come to your cross. And we confess our sins, and that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that you have a mighty working power of God through the things that you say to us, that we could hear your spirit. We could hear what your spirit says unto the churches. So, Lord, we thank you, praise you tonight, honor you. And whatever objection we have to keeping our own way, whatever objection we have to our own pleasure, Lord, that we would look carefully and diligently now, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest there be any fornicator or unclean person like Esau amongst us, and just ask you to purify your church. Receive now that exhortation to have riches of gold that are refined in the fire, true riches, as you refine our faith. And to be clothed with the robes of white, that righteousness that you clothe us with. And your mighty working power would be upon us. Lord, that we'd heed unto this warning of the pattern of incomplete obedience and set ourselves now to the fight to root out the enmity within, to root out the enmity and that love of the world that's without, and just ask and pray now for the power of the Holy Spirit to bring this forth. You would give us that godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be regretted, not to be repented, Lord, that unto salvation, that we would not need to ever change our mind about that. Just ask and pray your work of your spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen.